retirement plan? Have my kids marry into money. But in case they blow it, I need the latest investment news. It's time for the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
Alrighty here, Mr. Bellinger. What do we have? A popular betting platform for sale? Which one?
It's a one called the Twin Spires Racing. It's the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby and other races, and it could be for sale. Sources are telling Bloomberg that Churchill Downs is exploring options for Twin Spires. That includes possibly selling the business. Churchill Downs is said to be working with an advisor engaging interest in the betting platform.
How about that? All right, at Boeing, they got some good news. Like what?
Yeah, long-awaited good news from China. Regulators there say 737 MAX jets may resume commercial flights later this month or in early 2022. The jets have been grounded in China for nearly 3 years. In the wake of two fatal crashes, all other nations allowed the planes to return to service months ago.
All right, then United Airlines might relocate a key division. Which division is that?
It is the Network Operations Center. United Airlines moving its Network Operations Center out of downtown Chicago next year. The center and its 900 workers will be located to a suburb, and 400 flight dispatchers may also be moved. United is in talks with the dispatchers union to determine whether that can happen. About 2,500 staffers will still be based in Chicago after all of these moves are completed.
How about that? All right, futures then, please.
All right, pointing a bit higher as we await the jobs report at 8:30. S&P futures up 11, NASDAQ futures are up 50, and the Dow futures are up 81. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
Thank you, sir. Time's 8:10 now. 8:10 Friday morning, this time of the day and day of the week. We touch base with Kevin Carr. Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at themovies.com. Which means we talk about movies. Hey, Kevin Carr, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Marvelous, thank you. How many movies did you watch this week?
Probably too many. I need to get up and walk around the block a couple times, I think. You know, here's the thing. We're in award season.
Yeah.
So everybody wants me to see their movie, and they want me to see their movie this week. You know, if they would have talked to me in August, it would have been a lot easier, and they're all going to disappear come the end of January when the awards are given out.
Well, get an email out there earlier in the year. Let them know you're a busy man. You got things to do.
I know. I've been telling them that for decades.
Got radio shows to do, stuff like that.
That's right.
All right. Where do we start? How about this movie, Wolf?
Yes. Now, you'll notice there's nothing huge coming out in the theaters this weekend, which is why we're talking about a smaller one. This is going wide. And the reason that you get a lull right after Thanksgiving is because everybody kind of gets out of the way for the Thanksgiving movies to do well and before we start hitting the Christmas movies. Wolf is an independent film about a group of people going through therapy for a condition where they believe they're identifying or at least part a wild animal, whether it's a wolf or a cat or a parrot or a squirrel.
Right.
And there actually is a real psychological condition that's I don't think it's as well studied. It's a little more spiritual, where the real condition people think they're like elves or fairies or something like that, and when they are an animal, it's like a spiritual type of animal, like a wolf.
Sounds and crazy, but give it 5 years and we'll normalize it.
Well, who knows? It's been around for since about the 90s, as I understand this condition, but they make this more pragmatic, and really it's a very sort of a flat delivery. It's done in a very independent sort of bizarre style, but it's trying to make it very pragmatic. It's, I think, a veiled allegory to conversion therapy, but it's so thinly veiled. It's so obvious what they're doing.
And, yeah.
You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of thinking to think through it. It has Lily Rose Depp in it, who's awful as an actress, but the only reason she gets parts is because of her dad's name, Johnny Depp. She's his daughter. So it's a kind of a vehicle for her, but again, it really just looks like it's an acting exercise they did in some community theater and then just filmed it.
So these people they all think they're a different animal, basically, and they house them all together. Do they have individual restrooms? That's the big thing these days. I mean, you have the wolf restroom and the parrot restroom and all that.
Let's put it this way. There are a couple scenes where the people, you know, where the dog people have, let's say, marked their territory a couple points. I would think it would be a bad idea to put the cats in with the birds because there might be something violent to happen.
I agree. I certainly agree. All right, what a film. Then we also have Silent Night out there in limited release. What'd you think of Silent Night? It looks like an interesting comedy.
Yeah, it's a dark comedy. It's available in limited release. It's also available on AMC Plus, I believe, which is I guess they're stepping their game up to try and do the theatrical releases and streaming at the same time. But this is it's been billed as kind of an anti-Christmas movie. It's about a family and a group of friends that get together in England for one final holiday because some global cataclysm is going to wipe everybody out. And it's them sort of enjoying the last holiday before, you know, they face the inevitable. And I think that's an interesting idea. Every 10 years or so, we get these end of the world movies, which is it's cyclical. It just might hit a little too close to home now following a pandemic. But it's an interesting concept. The problem I had is, while everybody's sort of these acerbic characters in the movie, I didn't like anybody. And if you're making a movie about life and death, you really don't care who lives or dies. It makes it very hard to watch the movie. So while it has some very funny, dark, comedic moments, and it has a good cast with like Matthew Good and Keira Knightley, it doesn't quite hit the mark for me.
Well, then if you like the people in the movie, then you don't want the big cataclysm to hit. And then it's not funny anymore because the person you like is going to die. Think this through.
Well, I know. This is the problem when you get to these end-of-the-world movies. And, you know, we saw that, you know, 10 years ago or so when they were doing movies like 2012 and Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. And, of course, then 10 years before that, they had Deep Impact and Armageddon. So we get these things, you know, it's like the comet keeps coming around and everybody's word is going to hit us or whatever's happening that's causing the world to end.
Right. All right, we got one more, and I love every once in a while there's a trailer that doesn't want you to know what the movie's about, and this trailer is one of them, The Power of the Dog.
Yes, this one is on Netflix. It dropped on Wednesday. This has had a limited release for the last couple weeks because they're doing the qualifying run for award season. This is one of Netflix's big pushes for award season. It's Jane Campion directing a sort of a iconoclastic Western. It's based on a book from the 60s. It takes place in Montana in the early part of the 20th century, where Benedict Cumberbatch plays this, you know, kind of crotchety old, he's a cowboy, and his brother, who runs his business, marries a widow, and she's got a sort of a strange, you know, off-kilter son, and there's a lot of interpersonal issues between them, but then there's a bonding that happens between him and the son. And it sort of challenges the look of a Western or what Westerns are. It sort of breaks the mold. It looks at masculinity and relationships back, 100 years ago. It's a really well-done movie, but there's a lot to chew. You know, you gotta bite off a lot to watch this movie. So it's not something you can casually watch.
Right.
It's something you want to sit down and watch. And it's something you're going to hear about going through award season. So I definitely say it's worth watching, but, you know, take your time and give it a chance.
So have the film people in Hollywood come around to the whole idea that they're in competition with streaming services? They didn't like the fact that they were even getting nominations a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Part of it is Netflix figured out that they can just do the qualifying theatrical run and then drop it on their service, and they've made their bid. The problem is that it's the theaters that are pushing back on this more than necessarily the studios, because the studios have one hand in each pot and they're trying to profit from both of them. So I wouldn't say Hollywood's struggling with this concept, although they are. It's more the theater owners, and theater owners have to realize they're going to have to change their business model, because at home distribution is so much easier and now we're attuned to it. So, you know, we'll see. I think we're going to be having this conversation for the next couple of years. And the way things are going to be in terms of theaters and home video in 2025 is going to look very different than it does today.
That's what I was going to say. 10 years from now, how many theaters are there going to be?
Well, I think if theaters are going to survive the sort of the multi-model, I mean, like, you know, you go down to Newport at the Levee, they have that. I don't know how many screens they have at that AMC, but it's dozens. And they may need to scale it back to fewer screens because, you know, movies that aren't big event films can go to streaming, but huge big movies, you know, like The Matrix is coming up. I kind of want to see that one on the big screen. You know, people talked about seeing Dune on the big screen. Spider-Man, I think, is going to do very well in theaters in a couple weeks. But something like that Silent Night movie I just talked about, or Wolf, you don't need to see those on the big screen. Those are something you can watch at home.
No doubt about it. All right, well, that's all we got there, Kevin Carr. Which one was your favorite?
Oh, Power of the Dog, for sure, on this one.
Power of the Dog. All right. We got you. We thank you. And I say we do it again in a week.
I agree with you.
Kevin Carr, fatguys@themovies.com. Find him there. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Good song, but it doesn't get good till later on. All right, time is 8:21, 700 WLW. Have we put this on the blog or not? This Chicago Public Schools, this kind of surprises me. In fact, it does surprise me in a big way. What they're doing here is getting rid of gender-specific restrooms. And they have their reasons for that. And this is across, you know, the entire school district, not just one or two schools. Everybody's going to do it in the name of equity and things like that. And I can't imagine many students, much less parents, thinking that's a good idea. They'll explain it to you here. You basically use the one you feel most comfortable with. Let's hear that, Austin.
We're also taking steps to create more inclusive and supportive schools. One change that will be implemented this school year relates to our school bathrooms. In compliance with new federal guidelines, all CPS students and staff will have fair and equitable access to bathroom facilities that align with their gender identity. We will be providing all schools with updated signage that makes our bathrooms more inclusive. It will identify the fixtures available in each restroom and make it clear that all restrooms are open for use by anyone who feels comfortable. Staff will continue to have staff-only restrooms available to them. This is an incredibly important step to increase gender equity for all, which is why we will be requiring all schools to post this signage by December 1st of this school year.
The signage, as I mentioned before, above the what would have been the boys' room, says boys plus with a plus sign. And over what would have been the girls' restroom at the time is girls plus with a plus sign. I mean, I wouldn't like it. I mean, is anybody doing this in the workplace? Or is this just something we're having fun with the kids? You know, here we have men's, well, actually right here we have single restrooms, so it doesn't matter. They're open to anybody. But out in the hallway and throughout this building, you have men's rooms and women's restrooms. You go to the airport, men's rooms, women's restrooms. If you go to the mall, I haven't used the restroom there, but I've seen the sign. They have men's rooms and women's restrooms. We do it in the schools. Is anybody doing this anywhere else where the grown-ups thrive? Because I'd imagine they probably wouldn't be that wild about it. I haven't been in a restaurant, you know, beyond the single bathroom thing. I've not been at one for multi-persons that is open to whoever's comfortable using it. If the adults won't do it, why are we doing it to the kids? Is this like break them in so that over time they'll get used to it? You know, by the time you graduate and you're 20, are they doing it on college campuses? I don't know that I've heard about this on college. I mean, at UC, can anybody use the restroom, men's or women's restrooms, based on, I mean, she's saying they're following federal guidelines to do this. I thought the federal guidelines suggested you would have, you know, like a single restroom for somebody that didn't want to use either of the other two. Not that all restrooms would be open to everybody. That part is news to me, and I'll have to take a look at a Chicago news site to see if this is causing any outcry, because she seems very happy about the fact that they're doing things to increase gender equity by letting anybody use any restroom. Well, we'll get to it following news, which is upon. Well, first we have, of course, the little chat here with the coach, and then news, and back to it on 700 WLW.
Money, money, money.
Some people say money can't buy happiness. Let me make a bunch, and we'll see if they're right. Here it comes, the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Jeff Bellinger, you have the incredible employment number. We should have wagered on this.
That's well, right.
What were the experts calling for?
550,000.
I'm going to say 610. How close am I?
We would both be wrong. The economists were way off. Job growth much weaker than expected. The Labor Department reports 210,000 workers were added to payrolls in November. That's right.
Nobody wants a job big surprise. Anymore. Nobody wants a job.
Yeah, economists thought we'd be hearing about 500,000 or more new jobs. Now, the nation's unemployment rate, which is based on a separate household survey, was down. It fell 0.4 percentage point to 4.2%. And you can bet that's what Washington will be focusing on when you start hearing from officials today.
Absolutely. All right. U.S. needs a lot of new homes.
Yeah, decades of underbuilding have created a new home construction shortfall across the country. Analysts at Zillow report this morning there's a shortage of more than 1.3 million new homes in 35 of the nation's biggest housing markets. The report notes that there's a small surplus of new homes in the Cincinnati market, however. The shortage has been growing since the Great Recession. Builders are now working to catch up. But they're dealing now with the supply chain issues and labor shortages that are hitting all of the other industries.
Yeah, I saw the other day a number of jobs added in California, like in the last 10 years, versus the number of houses, and they're not beginning to keep up. So
that's right.
All right, ExxonMobil not planning generous raises, even though they're making pretty good money.
Yeah, the oil giant had a banner year. It's planning raises for its employees, but Bloomberg reports the pay hikes will not be enough to keep the workers ahead of inflation. ExxonMobil plans to increase salaries by 3.6% for employees who performed with merit. It says all decisions will be based on individual performance.
All right, then Target is going to holiday hours.
Starting Sunday, most stores will be open from 7 a.m. to midnight every day through December 23rd. And Target's also running a gift card sale this weekend. Customers buying gift cards will get a 10% discount tomorrow and Sunday.
Isn't that nice? All right, what about futures then?
They're still pointing higher. Looks like investors are okay with the jobs report. S&P futures are up 18, NASDAQ futures are up 94, and the Dow futures are up 100 points this hour. Have a great weekend, Mike. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
Round and round we go. It's 8:40. How about that? 700 WLW. And I know we had Bengal stuff and we had the news in the way, but I'm still curious. If anywhere where the grown-ups go, if we allow people of whatever gender they are comfortable with to use the restroom. Because I've not stumbled on one, but we sure are heading that way as far as the kids are concerned. And if you're just tuning in, we had the story from Chicago Public Schools where they now have all of the restrooms in the school district available to whoever identifies, whichever one you feel most comfortable using, you just go right ahead. The red carpet has been rolled out, and they say it's to meet federal standards or federal guidelines. So we're just goofing on the kids. Now, I've seen it nowhere I go, whether it's, you know, a restaurant, whether it's a store, whether it's an airport, whether it's here, or any office building I've been in, we still have, for the adults, we divide them up, men and women. Unless some company has, you know, some email they sent out among their employees to use whichever one you want, but that would be news to me. It's something we're doing to the kids. Then otherwise, came across this story, and I brought this up a lot of years ago. If you're at all a car enthusiast, and you occasionally go to a car show, an auto show, the cars are all old. Because what happened was, in the early 70s, all of a sudden we had the big energy crisis, and all these edicts came out that cars have to start getting much better gas mileage, and all the style went out of cars, and all the little cars came along, and they didn't know how to make little cars that looked like they were fun. So they're making the point now that people go to car shows, younger people go to car shows, and they would like to see some cars that are kind of from, you know, their parents' generation, but all the cars in a car show are from your grandparents' or great-grandparents' generation, depending who you are. So the question is, and that, you know, is there a car that's been made since 1975 or 80 that belongs in a car show? And at the time it came out, I thought the Pontiac Fiero would be one. The engine was in the middle of the car. That's what made it unique, but it was also a good-looking sports car. That the Pontiac Fiero probably should be in a car show, even though it came along after all the cafe edicts and all that. Then looking around today, we're finally getting back to style and sound and muscle. I would say that the present-day Mustang, someday down the road, not today, is not classic enough. But 10, 15 years from now, the newer Mustang that's been out there the past few years, that car belongs in a car show. Maybe the Camaro, I don't know, maybe the Camaro. And then a car that I had for a while was a Cadillac XLRV. And it's basically a Corvette with a Cadillac body put on top of it. They're not making them anymore. I think they stopped in maybe 06, 07 back in through there. But that was a good-looking car, and that was a fun car to drive, too. That should be in a car show. But there aren't that many other cars. Just, you know, they were, style was more important back in the day, and they really changed the model every year. I mean, like a 69 looked nothing like a 68. You know, there were always changes. You could see a car go by and know what year it was. And, of course, you can't now, which is kind of good because you can sit on a car for 15 years and it doesn't look old. Makes a big difference. But a car today that belongs in a car show. Someday. Not necessarily today. 513-749-7000 or 800, the big one. We have somebody on gender-neutral bathrooms, too. But John, or Ryan, rather, had a car he wanted to toss in there, so let's do that. Ryan, what do you say?
What's up, brother? I say 1985 Monte Carlo Super Sport.
And 85. Were they still boatish in 85? Was it still a big car in 85?
I think they kind of compacted it then.
I can picture that, the SS on the back.
Yes.
I can picture that car. That was a good-looking car. Did you ever go to a car show and see a car you had in the car show?
No, actually, I haven't.
That happened to me, man. I had a 72 Gran Torino, sort of a copper color, and I swear I thought it was my car. It was down to the most minute detail, I thought it was my car.
I had a 1976 Pontiac Bonneville, that same copper color.
I had like a 68 that was 4 feet longer than yours.
And that's big.
Yeah, that's a big car. Really was. All right, got you covered. Right, thank you. Got to run. See you later. Let's check it. But, they're all well south or well north of me. Ain't nothing over my head. So sunny today, not as windy. Nice. Pushing 60 for a high overnight. It is clear. Let's see. 39 is the overnight low. And then sunny tomorrow, a bit cooler, 52, 53. And Sunday, hopefully the rain holds off till post-Bengals, and it might. It is coming later than originally guessed. But 57 is Sunday's high. And the temp right now is 39. All right. Who's got a what? Work in a couple? Limited time. Yeah, Gary, what's up?
Hey, Mike, how are you, sir?
Doing all right, Gary. What do you got?
1969 Nova. Come out with a 396, 375, 1969, 3995 on the sticker tag. Had it boosted up to a 427. B super stock at Edgewood.
Right. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about post energy crisis, when cars got small and ugly, is there one since then that belongs in a car show?
It probably had to be the old Camaro wasn't too bad, and the Firebird wasn't too bad.
All right, forgot about Firebird. You're right about that. I would take that. All right. I got you, Gary. Got to squeeze in some more. My time is limited. Todd, you're up. What's up?
Yeah, Mike, long time. Well, they're probably a little bit, maybe they're too modern for what you're looking for, but neither one of them have been made in a while. Remember the Plymouth Roadster when they came out with it?
Yeah, but what year was that?
It was early, mid-2000s. And then, of course, the Dodge Viper that had that big, what was it, V12 under the hood, wasn't it?
Yeah, I forgot about the Viper. That one is fun.
Yeah, yeah. That's all
the, and the Prowler. Forgot about the Prowler.
Yeah, yeah, but, the Roadster had that definite throwback look, two-seater, ragtop,
Yeah, I'll have to pull that up and take a look at it. It's not coming to mind. I'll check it out though, and I'll thank you. I got to run. Got Brent. Yes, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing all right.
Hey, how about the Buick Grand National? That was always a hot car. You remember those?
What year?
Oh, those would come out in the late '80s. It was kind of like an old Hurst Olds, if you remember those.
I'm in the midst of trying to Google it. Buick Grand National. I got one here for sale.
For sale? Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. What's good? Yeah, nothing wrong with that car.
That's what I thought you'd like that.
It's kind of the Monte Carlo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
bad. Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Hey, gotcha. Thank you. Got to run. See ya. I've got to get a break in here and get in Beer Dave. Got Beer Dave on the way. So let's pause and set that up. All we're going to have time for. Thank you. 700 WL.
Cincinnati.
All right, it is 853 700 WLW. Scott Sloan will be in here after news at 9. Poor man's gone blind. He brought in a reading lamp. Just mention, in this room for now, before we move, we have about, I would say, without exaggerating, 25 feet of windows that are 8 feet tall. All the way around the room, along with spotlights above and fluorescent lights on top of that, and he brought in a reading lamp because he can't see. Poor guy. He'll join you at 9:06 with an explanation, perhaps. Meanwhile, my pal Beer Dave is joining us on a Friday because that's what he does. Dave, how you doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you. Taking a look at the beer world here, and our friends at Taft have found, I guess it'd be their third location, right? They got the one in over the Rhine, and then Spring Grove, and now they're going to be in Madisonville.
Correct, yeah, where MedPace has that large office building there at the Red Bank Expressway and Madison Road. They're putting in this huge development that almost, from the pictures, looks a little like the Moorline Lager House.
I thought so, too, yeah. And Taft is going to be there, but they're not the only one. There are other food entertainment-type places, too.
Correct, yeah, coffee bar, salad bar, some kind of a small walk-up restaurant, an ice cream place, but Taft's is going to oversee a 48-tap beer garden, which is pretty cool. It doesn't sound like they're going to brew there, but they're going to make beer that'll be available at this location.
Yeah, it looks like there's beer garden area that's covered and another area that's open air. And it's going to be pretty cool. It's called, what's it called, Element?
Element Eatery. It's modeled after the same place in Nashville that these guys did down in the Fifth Street area of Nashville, which is another up and coming there.
But just as eateries go, does Element sound delicious?
No, sounds like the Puronic chart.
Yeah, it does. All right, elsewhere in the world of beer, a few here I might enjoy myself. It's Braxton with their 7th annual celebration of bourbon barrel aged stouts. Where do I get mine?
So at Braxton in Covington tomorrow, they're having their Dark Charge Day. If you go to darkchargeday.com, all the details will be there. But they've got 4 variants this year, which unfortunately, Mike, there is a hazelnut coffee one in the mix.
Maybe I can switch that out for something else. You don't know.
Right. Well, there is an orange Curacao, which has some chocolate notes to it. It kind of reminds me of one of those chocolate oranges.
Yeah. They got the wax caps on it. Makes them tough to open. It's like it's dipped in wax like a Maker's Mark bottle.
Right. You need a razor blade to shave that off.
Yes, you do. It seems like a lot of work.
But no, this is a cool event that they do, and they took a couple of years off for COVID, unfortunately. So even though it's their 7th annual, this is they're back doing it live again, which is exciting to see that come back.
That's cool. All right, then somebody said, what flavor of beer haven't we tried yet? And Ryan Geist said, crumb cake. Someone said, good idea. We need crumb cake flavored beer, and now we have it.
Right. It's a streusel you can sip, so to speak. And this is a blend of a brown ale, but it's also got coffee, vanilla, and lactose added to it for some milk creaminess to it. And I got to try this last week. It's pretty tasty. I was surprised how much things like the cinnamon and the vanilla come out in it.
So kind of it's like a Christmassy taste, you're telling me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, correct. It's good with a plate of Christmas cookies.
Yeah. Is that in grocery stores and whatnot, probably?
Yeah, that hit the stores this week. So you should. It's in 12-packs, and then 6-packs hit next week. So watch for it in Kroger and all the other major retailers. It should start showing up.
Crumb cake. All right, Dan, what do we have here? Big New Year's wing ding going on. And this is going to be in Milford, right, at the Little Miami Brewing Company. Saw you there last week for that beer collectible event. That's a nice little event center. It really is.
Yeah, and so that's what they're doing. They did this for Halloween. They did an event there, and now they're doing this for New Year's Eve in that same space. And like you said, you know, with the river rolling along it and stuff, that's really cool new space if you're looking for a venue. I recommend that one.
Yeah, this is New Year's Vinyl Countdown, they're calling it. Obviously, the date you should understand, December 31st. Tickets available online. What are they calling this? The Little Miami Brewing Company Event Center. Okay, New Year's Live Concert with Vinyl Countdown. I assume Vinyl Countdown does maybe classic rock.
Correct. Yep, that is the band at that point. So maybe they'll even play some Vinyl Richie.
Wouldn't that be nice? Shut up. And it's in part a fundraiser. Money goes to the Dragonfly Foundation, which is nice, too. So get your tickets online at cincyticket.com/NYFLMD. Just ticket, cincyticket.com, you'll find it. Hey, we're out of time. We got to run. It was limited time. I screwed this up somehow.
That's right. It's Scott Sloan's lamp got in the way.
It did, in part, and it is. It will be. Why you need a lamp in this room, I have no idea. But
it's a pretty bright city.
It is. He can explain himself. All right, Dave, have a fantastic weekend. Talk to you next time.
You too, Mike. Take
adios,
care.
Boss. You bet. 9 o'clock, got to run. Sloan's next. News time. News Radio, 700 WLW.